Yes, please.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of WashTec AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Dr. Rolf Koppe, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the WashTec board, I would like to welcome you to the Q3 presentation 2022. Attending the call with me is my new colleague, Andreas Pabst, CFO of WashTec, who joined the board on October 1st, and my colleague, Stefan Weber, Chief Sales Officer. As you know, Kerstin Reden, former CFO of WashTec, has left the company due to personal reasons, what we fully understand and support. We wish Kerstin all the best and thank her for her valuable contributions. Next slide, please. I will now hand over to Andreas for a personal introduction.
Thank you, Rolf. Yeah, hello. Welcome, everybody, also from my side. My name is Andreas Pabst. I'm 49 years old. I live in a small town close here to Augsburg together with my wife. We both have four children. A little bit about my professional background. I studied management and administration, then started my professional career at KPMG, where I made the tax advisor exam. Then over different public listed companies, I came 2008 to the KUKA, which also is a bigger company here in Augsburg, where I was group CFO from 2018 to 2021. From 2021 to 2022, I have worked for the shareholder of KUKA AG, which is the MyD Group. Since first of October, I'm here at WashTec, and I can tell you the first impression of this company is great company, lots of good people I've met here, and I'm really happy to be here together with you today. Having said that, back to Rolf.
Thank you, Andreas. We go to slide three. First, we'll have some short news update on WashTec before Andreas will present the financial figures. Finally, we have the Q&A session. We go to slide four. Let me summarize our business model to take everybody on board. WashTec is the leading provider of innovative solutions for car wash worldwide. Our product range comprises all types of vehicle wash equipment, as well as the associated peripheral devices, wash chemicals, and water reclaim systems. As a specialist in environment-friendly vehicle wash systems, we work continuously on innovations that contribute for sustainable mobility and today and tomorrow. WashTec also offers comprehensive servicing packages and digital smart service solutions spanning the entire product life cycle, including equipment maintenance, chemicals, equipment take back, financing arrangements, and operator management. Next slide, please. This is slide five. WashTec aims to provide full transparency on its sustainable business activities. We have adopted a comprehensive sustainability strategy encompassing economic, environmental, and social sustainability, which is presented in our comprehensive report 2021. Proceeding beyond prior success with environment-friendly car wash equipment, we have published targets and measures for our sustainable business activities. Furthermore, the report delivers insights into our corporate culture, embracing agility and diversity. Concerning the current energy crisis in Germany and Europe, our energy task force has identified additional measures to reduce our energy consumption by approximately 20%. This is well in line with the reported energy savings initiatives reported by German industry. This will contribute, of course, and accelerate the reach of our 30% reduction goal in CO2 emissions per ton per million euro turnover in our business activities by 2025. Please see our sustainability report 2021 for further details concerning our energy consumption footprint. Slide number seven. Our first comprehensive sustainability report 2021 has got great attention. First, investor teams have increased their internal ESG rating for WashTec and are interested discussing next step with us. The Augsburg Business School has conducted its first certificate course on financial sustainability experts. In this course program, over 15 senior financial professionals analyzed sustainability programs, strategies, and reports from various German mid-sized companies. We got outstanding feedback from the team for the consequent strategic setup and execution of our sustainability program and the transparency in publishing quantitative KPIs and goals concerning our program. Based on these findings and results, we have been awarded the prize ESG Company of the Year. It's a great achievement by our sustainability OBEA team and all WashTec colleagues. Thank you for contributing to our ESG program. Slide 8. On this slide, we show our ESG program for economic sustainability, leadership in sustainable car wash. We released an energy-saving product offer for our JetWash product addressing the installed base of our customers. This contributes to our goal of resource-efficient operation and offers great value to equipment operators. JetWash sites are commonly operated with heated water. By changing the setup from warm to cold wash, our customers can save up to €2,000 per year. Our chemicals are already optimized for cold water use, and we can offer a product upgrade including chemicals to help our customer to achieve energy savings. Slide 8, please. A final slide in the WashTec update section. We have two first installations of new products in the US. It is the SmartCare US as a full specification machine with a key account customer, and the AquaPur Modular as a version for North America. The AquaPur Modular water retreatment system is now available as an UL approved version. WashTec increases the product range and can now offer its own water retreatment system in North America, contributing to a better customer outcome. Slide 9, please. I now will hand over to Andreas for the presentation of Q results 2022.
Thank you, Ralf. Please move to page 10. On this slide, you see our main KPI for the third quarter. For the third quarter, group revenue was €118.6 million, up by 6.6% year on year. This is a new all-time high for a third quarter. This growth was supported by good key account business, our price increases, and our growth in the US accomplished by the tailwind we got from the US dollar FX rate. On an FX like-for-like basis, our revenue growth in Q3 2022 was 2.7%. Now let's look at the EBIT. In Q3 2022, our EBIT comes in at €9.7 million, which is clear below last year's number. EBIT margin is 8.2%. As explained in calls before, it is true that this is mainly a result of the timing gap between material, logistics and energy price rises on the one hand side, and our own price increases, which we did in the first half year and further to come. Ukraine war following energy crisis and continued lockdowns in China lead to further shortage on purchase market followed by significant price rise. We react on it with additional price increases for our products, but due to the fact that WashTec's conversion to cash cycle, meaning the time between order intake and revenue recognition takes 4 to 6 months, the latest price adjustments are not fully recognized to the P&L yet. But we see in Q3 here already some impact. EBIT margin Q3 is by 1.2% above EBIT margin in Q2. As in all the months ago, we at WashTec take high priority on our delivery capability, and we were successful in doing so. We were able to fill all the delivery obligations also in this quarter. But this causes, on the other hand, side higher safety stock, and on the other side, more flexibility in the production process is needed, which for sure leads to some inefficiencies and creates additional costs. Our customers are facing similar problems too. For example, when they do not get necessary materials or craftsmen to do the installments in their facilities so that we can bring our products in. But once again, We on our side managed our delivery obligations quite well and fulfilled every single order. For the third quarter, free cash flow after lease payments was positive with 7.6 million euro after a negative 1.0 million euro in Q2 2022. Looking now at the development by product category on the next page, that is page 11. Our machine and service business increased by 8% in third quarter. This is the strongest quarter for this segment in the last 5 years. Especially key account business contribute to the revenue growth. Direct sales remain on a solid prior year level. Revenue from chemicals in Q3 was 12.0 million, a drop by 3% year on year. After a strong first half year, chemicals revenue was slightly down on the prior year. Long heat waves through July and August in southern Europe, summer drought in France with car washing bans and unfavorable car wash weather in September led to a fall in wash numbers with a corresponding effect on chemical revenue. Moving on to the performance by region in the third quarter on page 12. In the third quarter, we saw a moderate revenue growth by 2.7% in Europe. We saw the continuation of the slight weakening in the direct sales business we know from Q2, whereas revenue in key account business remained strong. The weather-related decline in chemicals, which I already mentioned, slowed down the growth in the third quarter. EBIT with 9.8 million euro was below prior year by 1.7 million euro, but it was on the same level as in Q2 2022, where we had lower revenues. This was a result of all the effects we already mentioned for the group EBIT development. Europe, nevertheless, showed a double-digit EBIT margin of 10.8% in the third quarter. What's in North America? Revenue in North America was 27.6 million, up by 24%. All product segments contributed to the positive trend. The machine and service segment, the direct sales business, made a particularly large contribution, while key account business was slightly down. One second, please. Thank you. In line with the trend across the group as a whole, this region was also negatively impacted by cost increases. Because of the significantly larger share relating to key accounts, for which a price adjustment could only be implemented from June 2022, in conjunction with a higher material cost share, it was not fully possible to offset these effects with the increase in revenue. So the EBIT comes in at break-even, whereas we had negative EBIT in Q2 2022. In APEC region, the third quarter revenue of 4.7 million was equal to prior year. Revenue was impacted in particular by the prolonged lockdowns in China and resulting in a lower result. Coming now to the results for the first 9 months. On page 13, you can see the development of revenue, EBIT and free cash flow from 2019 to 2022 for the first 9 months of the year. For 9 months 2022, group revenue was 338.6 million euro, up 10.5% year on year, a new all-time high for 9 months. Even at constant exchange rates, the revenue growth in the first 9 months was 7.6%. All product segments contributed to this revenue growth, partly to the implemented price increases. The equipment and service segment improved significantly compared with the first 9 months of prior year. Looking now at EBIT development. EBIT was 22.6 million euro, down by 10.4 million euro compared to last year. As already mentioned for the development in the third quarter, it was mainly caused by time lag between material price rises and our own price increases, as well as by normalization of the business activities like trade fairs and travel after years impacted by COVID-19 pandemic. EBIT margin was 6.7% after 10.8% last year. Compared to Q2, the company could increase EBIT by 1.2%. Cash flow development was impacted by a significant increase in inventory due to safety stock in regard to uncertainties on the material markets. The next slide shows more details to explain the EBIT development compared to prior year. As you can see, the main impact is coming from the gap between recognized price increases and the rise of material-related costs. Selling expense increase is mainly driven by volume-related increase of freight costs. In addition, there was an increase in freight fares, which were not incurred in the prior year due to the pandemic situation. For example, WashTec was this year presenting its products in fairs in the US, in Stuttgart, in Bologna, and in Madrid. Let's have a look at revenue by product category on page 15. Revenue from equipment and service reached 219.9 million, up 11% year on year. The growth in this area was mainly driven by the significant increase in the North American region, but also other regions developed positive compared to prior year. Revenue from chemicals was 43.5 million, up 14% versus prior year. This came mainly from first 6 months of the year. As I already mentioned, Q3 for the chemicals was a weak quarter due to weather conditions. Moving on to the performance by regions on page 16. Revenue from Europe was 265.4 million, up 5.6% year on year, mainly driven by key account business. EBIT is at 24.1 million euro, which is a 9% EBIT margin. Compared to last year, the development was impacted by already described effects. Material prices and availability, as well as additional costs in regards to securing our delivery capabilities. Higher sales volume and the ability for fares led to an increase in selling expenses. As mentioned, in Europe, we were at fairs in Stuttgart, Bologna, and in Madrid. In October, we presented our products with good response in Paris. On the next page, North America. American revenue was 71.4 million euro, up 38.4%. In US dollar terms, revenue increased by 22.4%. All product and customer segments contributed with a double-digit growth. The region generated a loss of 1.2 million, which is mainly caused by the lag between material price rises and own price increases, especially for key account business. In addition, earnings were negatively affected by a significant increase in health insurance premiums. Next slide. APEC, our smallest region. Revenue in that region is overall quite stable. Positive development in Australian market is counteracted by poor development in China, where we had impacted the continuous lockdowns. EBIT is slightly positive. Coming now to our main balance sheet KPIs on page 19. Net working capital went up due to increase in inventory with regard to the safety stock. After cash cycle, KPIs like DSO and DPO were mainly stable. This fact impacts also our cash flow development and in the consequence, together with the dividend payment, an increase in the net bank liabilities. Equity decreased mainly to the 38.8 million dividend payout. Compared with the 2021 year-end, the equity ratio decreased from 36.9% to 27.0%. Coming now to our guidance. As you know, we adjusted our guidance in the middle of the year. And let me make it short. The figures in Q3 give us confidence to believe in our adjusted guidance. We see a revenue increase for full year between 10 to 12% and an EBIT ratio of 8 to 9%. But let me remind you what has also been said at half year's call. Like many companies, we currently face supply chain challenges on supplier and on customer side. In addition, the situation in regard with the gas deliveries in the remaining month of the year increased the uncertainty for the outlook. Our top priority continues to maintain lead times and avoid business interruptions. We have managed this quite well so far, and we will do our utmost to do in future. Our guidance assumes that we do not face any significant business interruptions.
Ich glaube, wir haben ein Problem im Call. Die hören nur Musik. Kann das sein? Okay.
Just hello?
Okay, just finish. That's fine, and then we redo it if this is...
So then maybe finally let me guide your eyes to our financial calendar, which is on page 22. You see, our next event is the Equity Forum in Frankfurt. We, Ralf and myself, hope to see you there. This was it from the finance side. Thank you. Now we are pleased to answer your questions.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please leave the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Alexander Galitzer. Please announce your company name before asking your question. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. It's Hauck & Aufhäuser. I have a couple of questions, maybe starting with Q3 and then implications for the full year guidance. Could you somehow quantify how much is the revenue effect you're having from the delayed or potential delays in installations that you have seen in Q3? That's number one. And then with regards to the full year guidance, earlier you upgraded the sales guidance target, which now requires you acceleration in Q4 after we have seen some weakness with chemicals. And also we hear about construction delays that potentially impact the revenue recognition or the timing of revenue recognition. Could you just provide some more color from today's standpoint, how the situation is looks like, and what gives you really confidence that this acceleration that you need in Q4 is actually within reach?
Thank you, Mr. Galitzer. Just a question before: was the call transmitted rightly, or because I got some emails from participants that
In the beginning, I was, like in the first couple of minutes, I was put on standby, so I heard music playing. So I had to really redial in, and then it went, all right.
Okay. So to all, I apologize for that. We will clear that with the service provider. I will now start giving first indications to your question, then hand over to Andreas. First of all, the guidance, as we said, has a range in the revenue. And as you remember, the revenue range is has a lower and an upper bound. And especially that has been chosen because we saw some always have threats in supply chain issues, which we manage actually quite well. But we have now an increased problem at the customer sites, that those customer sites don't get sites finished, and we literally have to go manually through our production book to see if whether the sites can be completed and installations can be made. Those delays can be sometimes 1 week, 2 weeks, or could be then 2 months. That depends. But we see some shift, and we, of course, are working hard to have a good closing at the end of the year. We know that in the last years we had good runs in November and December, so we're very confident about this. But it's additional work we have to invest to do the installation planning to get the revenue recognition as planned, and also the production program is adjusted to that. At the end, the last 2 weeks, we will have prepayment. We will produce prepaid machines like the last year. So we have a sufficient gap for the installations teams to react. That's the current situation, Andreas.
Thank you. And then maybe a question on if you could, a little bit more broader, maybe, if you could discuss sort of customer dynamics that you're currently seeing, particularly in the context of the revenue decline in Q3 you have noticed in key accounts in North America, I believe. So is there kind of a seasonality to it, or is this really sort of a trend of sorts? And maybe building up on that also, if you could give any color from today's standpoint, how do you see really individual regions developing going into next year?
For the individual regions let's say somehow the impression of where the market is leading, I can hand over to Stefan Weber. But first of all, we are talking about revenue recognition, and the delays generated are due to these problems in the installation on the installation side. Mm-hmm. And they are the same. We're just coming back from North America. They're the same in North America as in Europe. So we see the similar problems, or let's say them, the same similar management activities to get this revenue recognition. Now, Stefan.
So the question was regarding the order intake. Sorry, I didn't get the question.
Yeah, the question was
The order intake issue.
What are the customer trends? What are the customer trends?
The customer trends. Okay, yeah. When you look at the customer trends on a global scale, that is easy to be described. I mean, the current situation whereby prices are rising everywhere has, of course, created some uncertainty, I would say, with the direct customers. That's very obvious, whereby the key accounts, largely those that are exploring, in other words, the upstream customers, do have very good revenue streams at this point in time, and also a good cash situations. They invest more than we have anticipated, we have to say. And also, we are increasing our share in key account at this point in time. So we have, on one hand, a little bit of hesitance. We have a very good funnel, let's put it this way, in direct sales, not even declining. However, we also see that decisions are delayed on the direct business side, that is car dealers and single car wash or single gas station operators or car wash operators, whereby we do see, a very good movement on the key account side. And that is already, we've seen this already throughout the year. And in the meantime, we can also see it in the revenue recognition, whereby we saw it before in the order intake, which is not shared. So in other words, we now see what we already indicated in the Q1 and Q2 call, that there is a tendency more towards key account. And that's also, by the way, something that we consider to be going forward to consider to be a similar situation. Does that answer your question?
Understood, yes. Maybe you could also kind of give a color. How should we read the slight decline in incoming orders in the third quarter, if there is a seasonality, or do you see trends building up there?
I mean, I can give you an answer. I mean, we were, let's say, to a certain extent, we had a far higher order intake in Q2. And usually due to our very well managed funnel system where we have all the quotations, everything that we have in the system, in our CRM system. We are usually very precise in forecasting order intakes per quarter. And in this Q2 this year, it was for the first time since many, many quarters where we had far more order intake than we anticipated. And we read it this way: if we count Q2 and Q3 together, then we are where we actually saw it. So in other words, we had implemented a price increase for Q3, or that means just before Q3, so we assume that some of the customers have decided to purchase before the next price increase, because we have ongoing price increases every now and then. But and also we had some orders in Q2 that we expected in Q3 on the key account side. So overall, Q2 and Q3 are excellent, and a little bit lower Q3 is for me not a trend at this stand now. It is more, let's say, the sum out of two quarters.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you. And then maybe briefly on R&D and digital offering. In terms of R&D expenses, could you roughly provide a guidance? What do you expect to spend in the coming years, so 2023, 2024? And secondly, I believe with your digital offering, the first machines that were equipped with those features are rolling off warranty in September. I was just wondering if you can provide any color on adoption or renewal rates you're seeing there, and how this is developing in general.
Maybe I take the question about R&D spend in 2023 and 2024. I think we in the board, we are fully aligned that we need to invest in R&D, and we do it. Yeah, but what for sure is important for the next or coming years is growth. No, it's profitability. Yeah, so we are investing further in R&D, but with a very sharp eye on the ROI on it. For very exact data, it's too early to answer the question, because we are setting up the budget currently. Yeah. And for what we are currently doing in R&D, maybe Ralf can add some words.
Yeah, we had a deep dive in R&D this morning, so we have the figures quite well. First of all, when we look into 2023, probably we have to address more in operational excellence and savings, cost savings in the product. That's in preparation, you know, and we told you that we had to invest a lot in R&D to keep to be able to deliver. So we will shape the R&D program. So we will put that into the scope and are doing this right now. Turning the digital offers, yes, the digital platform is now 2 years in the way, but not to misunderstood, the digital platform works with all our machines that are connected. That is to say, it doesn't require the smart care. Also, the soft care platform and even other gadgets are able to be connected by this IoT approach. And especially what we are now working is the change program in the digital office, in the back offices of the digital service, so that we get this efficiency increases that we know that helps us to become more efficient and to run the service more efficiently. Yeah, and that's the main focus currently. Also from the development path, so we also, let's say, have this platform in the US, especially in the US, we see a chance to make the service more profitable and to get, let's say, a much more leaner approach to the customer fulfilling our service contracts.
Okay, just to clarify, there is no thoughts of really direct monetization of the offering with the various revenue models?
Yeah, sure. But let's say the focus currently in 2022 is really in the change program of the sales, of the service side. And of course, we have some developments where we have a car wash broker function where car washes are activated via the cloud. And these activities are also, these first activities also will give us the possibility to have a revenue recognition on that side. I know that the desire to know what these digital offers will bring us as a revenue and profitability recognition is in the room, and we're working on a picture on that. But for the moment, I see it's still too early to come up with a full P&L on the digital the digitalization side.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01. Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. Dear speakers, back to you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for attending our call. My colleague Andreas Papst and I will attend the Eigenkapital Forum in Frankfurt. And as I know from our assistant, we have already scheduled quite a few, actually it's a full program. And we're looking forward to meet you. Just get in contact with us, and looking forward to discuss further with you. Thank you very much, and bye-bye from Augsburg.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. The call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.
Thank you.